Okay, so I continue now with the lecture. So we had, I gave you an opportunity of doing a visit to the first homepage. I don't know if you were able to look at the issues in total, but all in all, so the idea was to direct your interest to that and look at this number of issues that you could do. So here in the message part, I posted that exercise about CSERTs by visiting the first homepage. I am not going to revise answers to this exercise. It's more for engaging you to visit this. But if you have questions about the issues here, then we can take that a bit later. I would like now to continue with the lecture. So we were here, I think at slide 12. We finished with slide 11, now it's 12. So if you have visited the CSERT site, then you saw that one of the members, a prominent member, is this one, DFN CERT in Germany. And we did, some years ago, a research study, in cooperation with the DFN CERT. DFN CERT is the Computer Emergency Response Team for the German Research Network. DFN is Deutsches Forschungsnetzwerk, which is the abbreviation for German Research Network. And the main finding, right from the beginning, and the issue and the reason why this was an issue, a big issue, was that there was a big mismatch between the human resources to deal with security incidents and the workload. So they have seen over the years a tremendous increase in the number of security incidents. Actually, what they saw was a tremendous increase in what they call low priority attack reports, while the number of high priority incidents was a bit more stable. Actually, if you look at the picture here, it could be interpreted as if it is even decreasing. So in this slide here, then you see a red curve, which is the total number of incidents, attacks, from 1993 to 2003. Our study was done in 2005 to 2007, based on this data. And then you see the green curve, which is so-called low priority attacks, and the blue one, which is the high priority attacks. Still making noise. I cannot explain that. Anyhow, we wanted to deal with that. The issues continue. Also, the number of attacks has been continuing increasingly. So it was to look at what does it mean to have an increasing workload. I will also explain what it meant by low priority attacks and high priority incidents. In a sense, high priority, they are new things. We don't have experience as to how to deal with them. Low priority, they are kind of security incidents that we have seen before. They still need to be resolved if they have caused harm, but they are have lower priority because they are known, and there are methods to deal with them. So, first question, what does it mean that there is a strong imbalance? So, we built and extended the work by Sturman and Repenning on quality improvement we have seen before. And so you have seen these slides, this comes only for refreshment. So, applied to CSERTs, then the basic ideas is that you can do two things. You can cope with incidents, which is working hard, the B1, and you can learn from the incidents and develop an increased capability to deal with incidents, which is working smart. And all the things that we did before apply for CERTs, and that means that you can get trapped. Okay, you have seen all this before, but you can revisit that if you like. You can get trapped in the capability trap if you are doing too much of firefighting, of coping with incidents. So how do you sustain working smart, learning from incidents? That was the issues for us. So then I go to slides 27. So here is the analysis that we did. So we started from the Sturman-Ripenning work and generalized us, developed that for CSETs. And if you look at the model, simulation model that we developed for the German CERT, the DFN CERT, then I simply have no clue why this happens, and I am not doing anything particular. So I don't know what is the reason. If you look at this, then you have an issue of dealing with a workforce, which is not in the depending Sturman model. Which means, because of the growing demands, there is a need of expanding the budget, which is dealt with a special balancing loop. Then you have the balancing loops that you know from the repairing Sturman work. You have the B2 working hard. You have the B4 working smart. But you have something in addition, and that is because the number of incidents is increasing very rapidly, then the teams have to skip information. They are not able to deal with all the incident reports, and they spend, so they simply ignored some reports. In practice, they give priority to the incident reports that the constituents put a lot of pressure on. So if there are two constituents and one has submitted a report and doesn't follow much up, and the other one submits an incident report and is making phone call or sending emails, this is a very important thing, and so on, then the CSETs gave priority to those where they had a lot of pressure. So skipping information was a work of handling a high number, handling in quotation marks, a high number of incidents by simply ignoring some of the issues to be done, which means, of course, a decrease in the quality of performance of the CSERT. In addition, what happened was that they were spending less and less time to resolve the incidents. So the quality of service was decreasing. So Working Smarter was trying to develop automatic tools so that those incidents that were known from before, the so-called low priority incidents, could be handled in an automated fashion so as to be able to deal with a huge amount of increasing incidents. And then you had the reinforcing loop, which is reinvestment, you see it here as well, which has to do with reinforcing whatever strategy that is dominant, whether it is defensive, working hard, or proactive, working smart. And as in the repenning Sturman model, you had the problem with cutting the improvement work, taking shortcuts in situations under strong pressure. This model was then geared and calibrated towards the history And here you see how it behaves compared with the data that we got from the Fencer. And here you have a nice example where you can do research if you have a cooperative agency that is sharing information with you. So you see how our simulation model is doing compared with data. So for instance, here you see in green the actually detected low priority attack reports, and red is our simulation. So our model reproduces the data quite well. Then here you see in blue or green, I'm not so sure which color this is, the high priority incidents, and red is our simulation curve. Here you see the actual curve for staffing, in red our actual simulated curve. Here you see workforce that was employed reactively as compared with our model, how it simulates that. Then we analyze the information provided by the CSIRTs, and one issue that was quite prominent is that as the number of incidents was increasing a lot, then less and less effort was employed per security incidents, which is clearly an indication that there is an overwhelming amount of work to do and that the quality of service is decreasing because the CSIRT is not able to do a proper analysis. Then the next one is a historical thing, has to do with the way low priority attacks are considered. Until 1998, they were ignored and only new attacks were considered in statistics. But then the CSIRTs had to deal also with them, and that was the cause of the tremendous increase in amount. Because of the tremendous growth of incidents, then it was seen more and more that the skipping of information, that is neglecting some reported incidents and dealing only with part of that. Then the DFN CERT tried to work smart. So they dedicated resources to developing automated response service that would decrease the amount of work to be done manually. But then what happened, as you can see here in the green curve, is that this effort broke down. And it broke down because the shortcut, taking shortcuts, the pressure to respond was so big that they had continuously all the time to stop doing the improvement work, and then they were not able to develop a tool that assisted them with automated response. So cutting corners was here decisive. They were caught again in a capability trap. So we did this analysis for them and developed strategies so that the CSIRT could in the future be successful in developing automated tools or working smart, and they improved significantly. So the DFN CSIRT was very happy with the cooperation that we did with them. Okay. Concerning security, so we can see that quality improvement is of course very important, and that it is very similar to the situation that we have seen for quality improvement in manufacturing, for instance. But because there is a much stronger pressure from the outside to perform in security, owing to the increasing attacks in number and increasing sophistication, that's even a more difficult situation achieving continuous security improvement. So this was one part of what we did. Any questions? Yes, we got the data. We cooperated very closely with the German CSIRT. The president, his name is Klaus Walter Kosakowski, who was one of the authors of the reports by the CSIRT Coordination Center in Pittsburgh. He became very interested in our project. Actually, it was the CERT Coordination says that in Pittsburgh who alerted us about Kosakowski. And he was then very interested, and we had a meeting with him in Germany. And then we started the work, and he provided us with all the data that we needed. So that was a very nice example of cooperation with an enterprise. But then in the end, when we published the results, then we were asked to hide some of the information so that it couldn't be traced back. This is especially important in connection with the high quality, the high priority security incidents, which I will analyze now in a moment. What this shows, yes, yes, so the question or the comment is that the fact that less and less time was employed per security incidents could be interpreted as becoming more efficient in dealing with incidents. But it wasn't in this case. In this case, this happened before you had a tool to that was more effective. So it was actually an indication of lower quality of service, because of the big amount of increase of security incidents. But of course, the ideal thing will be to develop tools that indeed allow to deal equally efficiently or even more efficiently with security incidents without a decrease in the quality of service. Now, in the basically what we learned here is that the theories and the methods developed for quality, the analysis of quality improvement programs that were done at MIT, that they could be extended and generalized for CSIRTs. So it's pretty much the same thing. What we discovered that was new was that the stronger pressure to perform, owing to the increase in security incidents, had some consequences of their own, like skipping information, that is simply not responding to some of the incidents because they didn't have capacity, and lower quality of service because they spent less and less time per incident. So, as I said, later on, after we finished our study, the German CSIRT did achieve establishing automated response for low priority incidents. And the way they did that was simply that they protected and shielded the team that was developing the tool for automated response. They say no matter what happens and how many incidents we have to deal with, for a while we have to develop the tool. So instead of this problem here, which we saw, let me see, here, that the effort broke down, they simply dedicated a workforce to develop the automatic tool. And no matter what happens with many incidents that stream in and how to be responded, these people have to work undisturbed. And then they were able to increase their performance a lot. So they by sustaining their working smart. But there is a second problem which we haven't spoke about, and that's the next lecture, which you see here. We have now looked on the lecture towards the cybersecurity reporting system, a quality improvement process. Now, long-term instability in constituency and high priority workload in CISERTs. Okay, let's have a look at that. Okay, so we had a presentation at the Forum for Incident Response Teams. Johannes Wick was the PhD student I mentioned before, who is now working with Price Cooper, and Klaus Peter Kosakowski was the director of, and still is the director of the DFN CERT. So, high priority incidents. There are incidents that are new or relatively new that are still a big danger and that therefore have high priority. And they are a special class of issues for CISETs. If we look closely at the issues of high priority incidents, which means that we ignore things like pod scans, spams, and so on. The first thing is that the CISERT has to deal with reports that come both from their constituency, those that are financing the CISERTs, and outside the constituency. Because if, say, some company or some university in Great Britain or France or whatever detects that one of the attacks comes from a university or research team in Germany, and they find that the DFN CERT is responsible for that, then they will report that. So that means that the work they are doing in the coordination, resolving things and so, involves also groups that are not financing them, but simply because these attacks cross borders. Mm-hmm. Now, what they found was that the number of high priority incidents increase a lot and they seem to decrease, and then they started increasing again. So, what does this mean? Why did they increase? Why did they decrease? Why did they increase again? And for a CISERT, what kind of future do we like? In a sense, the number of high priority incidents is limited because once they become known, they are no longer high priority, they are low priority incidents. And that explains a bit why you don't see here this exponential increase as you have seen with the low priority incidents, which is simply everything else. And for the CISERTs, you can see this as a question of employment. If you are having such a decrease here, then that has consequences also for the financing of the CISERTs, because it means less incidents, then the entities that are financing the CISERTs, they will cut the funding and so on. So for the CISERTs, it's a question as to what is the future and what will be preferred? Are we going to have kind of oscillations, or is it going to be stable, or is it going to decrease, or whatever? So they wanted simply to understand that. What they discovered was First of all, there are two curves. If you see the triangles, that's about the numbers of high priority security incidents. Forget the scales here, because the scales, they are hiding the real results. We were asked to normalize that by the average number of incidents. So average is one, and the other numbers are the number of incidents relative to the average. So if you are up to 1.8, that means it's 80% higher than the average over time and so on. So the triangles are giving you information about the relative number of high priority incidents. But then, and unfortunately, they didn't start recording this in numbers before. They started in the year 2000. The circles is about the number of sites that are reporting, that are involved in the reporting. And they seem to follow the same pattern as the number of incidents reported. So it decreases, increases again. And based on memory, even if they didn't have the numbers, they said also in the past, it seemed that the number of sites, the number of constituents or internal or others outside terms that were reporting was also following the same pattern. So we would like to understand what is happening there. And for that, we develop a model. And this is a repetition here of how we do that in System Dynamics. We gather data from real world and try to create a simulation model so as to understand what is happening. We start with information that we get through three sources: what people tell us, mental models, reports, written information, and numerical data that exists. And then what we try to achieve is an explanation so that we can help the people understand better what is going on, improve mental models, and perhaps also develop better objectives and policies to managing the problems. By having a simulation model, then you can experiment and can ask what-if questions and so on. So you have control over the situation, in a sense. And once you have a simulation model, then you can do experiments without risking things as you would do in reality if you doing things in reality. For this part, we use a tool developed by a company in Norway, Dynaplan, and this was also the outcome of another PhD project that I directed. Dynaplan is now quite successful, this company. So if you become very good at System Dynamics and want to work, then probably they will employ you. One of very good former PhD student of mine is now working with Dynaplan. So we are here. You see the model, and as you can see, this is very similar to VenSim. So this here, there are stocks. These are flows, and so on. By some reason, Dynaplan wanted to use colors so that you could also visualize the units. So you can see dark color means number of sites, lighter green color means sites per year, and so on, and they have some other ones. So basically, what they discovered, is there are two kinds of sites that are reporting. We have some sites that sporadically send in reports. So we put them here in this stock here, the number of sites that are reporting. And remember, they can be both members of the or constituents of the CSERTs, or they can be entities outside. And we have others that are frequently reporting. So we model the problem by distinguishing between those sites that are sending sometimes some reports about incidents and those that are continuously doing that, sporadic versus frequent reporters. And what we discovered is that there was a process of recruiting. very often the frequent reporters, or practice always, they started first reporting sporadically, and then some of them became frequent reporters. Some of them simply stopped reporting. So sporadic reporters can continue to frequent reporters or simply leave off. They are no longer interested. So we have two flows, the flow or the rate for attracting reporters, and the flow or the rate for attracting frequent reporters. But also the frequent reporters, some of them over a while stop to report. So we are getting, we are losing also some frequent reporters. And we want to understand what are the mechanisms that attract reporters, that make them frequent reporters, and what are the mechanisms that lead to these sites to disappear, no longer report. Because remember, reporters, they are potential or real clients of the CSERT, and they are those who will ultimately finance the CSERT. Okay, so these reporters, they are producing reports. So from both the stocks, here this is in a sense coming from below here. Sporadic reporters, they deliver incident reports. Frequent reporters do as well. And we have two reporting frequencies for those who are frequent reporters and those who are sporadic reporters. And what we identified is that information about the incident reports and the work done by the CSERTs was a factor in attracting new reporters. So the reports provide activity for the CSERT, and because of that, and because the CSERT is doing useful work, then this becomes known, and that's a factor attracting. And we have a reinforcing loop owing to word of mouth. And this seems to explain, to begin with, the increase in size that report. It's a process of recruitment that you are seeing here. And originally, it starts like a strong growth that is similar to an exponential growth. Okay, one more minute, and I have to make a break. Okay. Then we have two more feedback loops here. We have the feedback loop, first-hand information about service quality, and second-hand information about service quality. But this is the following. The incidents, they are analyzed and reported, and depending on the relation staff to incidents, this determines the actual quality of service. If you have few incidents per staff, then that's a good quality of service, and this is detected, and it helps recruiting, making sporadic reporters to frequent reporters. When this quality decreases, then this recruitment becomes slower, and then the reporters are disappearing, some of them disappear, and you get less. But then there is a second-hand perception of service quality. Also, those who are not involved